in fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
Blooming by Sarah Weinman. Mina bent over to smell the roses in her garden, her hand reaching out to stroke the red petals. She pricked her palm on a thorn and laughed. It was hopeless. Gardening didn't suit her disposition. She got the idea after watching one of the new American movies playing at the local cinema. The picture proved forgettable, but the cartoon preceding it struck a chord. Something about a bull named Ferdinand, who wanted nothing more than to sit nice and quiet and smell the flowers. Mina did too. She'd earned it. Grasping the bleeding hand, she ran back into the house to wash the cut and salve the wound. She was becoming careless of late, injuring herself nearly every time she tended to the flowers. But it made her happy to do so, even if most of the flowers would die soon. They were still hers, and hers alone. Emphasis on alone. Mina frowned at the sight of her hand, not because the cut wasn't healing, but because this was the most exciting part of her day so far. She chose this life because it would be slow, undemanding, unfulfilling. But time was taking its toll. The silver streak in her hair thickened more in the past 5 years than in the previous 20. Maybe she simply needed to go out more. Pay attention to her neighbors and their petty little problems and squabbles. Maybe she needed to take a lover. It had been a while. Most had been mediocre, others distasteful. Or maybe she needed to stop hiding. Satisfied that the gauze had stemmed the wound's blood flow, Mina fetched a bucket and filled it with water. She stepped outside, the sun in her face, and moved to the right side of the garden. She kept clear of the roses, but the daffodils still needed attending. Plants, Mina? I'm amazed. She stopped short, not just because she hadn't heard her true name in over a decade and a half, but because of that voice, a harsh, guttural voice that still haunted her dreams. The sun shifted, and she stopped squinting. He'd aged more than she'd expected. The lines around his eyes, the sprinkle of gray in his temples, and the yellowing of his teeth caught her unawares. How did you find me? His shrug aped the Gallic customs that he so admired. Come, Mina, you know better than to ask such a question. A better one to ask is why others haven't. Her blood went cold, but she refused to betray any trace of emotion. Let them find me, she said lightly. Bullshit. They find you, and that's the end. That's why you fled. That's just one of many reasons, she thought. What do you want? She caught herself before she uttered his name. Bad enough he used hers, but she wouldn't return the favor. What you should have done last time. Most of us don't get second chances. One is often too much. But you were always one of the lucky ones, Mina. Gifted by God, some said, though I never thought so. More that you had so much talent and were easily impressionable. I'm certainly not now, she retorted. Prove it. I know you can do this. Her heart pounded double time, then triple time, but not for the reasons she expected. It wasn't fear that gripped her, but exhilaration. She had been waiting for the opportunity all along. But she had to keep him at bay. Capitulating wasn't part of the process. I'm rusty, she said, feigning protest. I spend my time on my garden, for God's sake. I'd need practice, I... So you'll practice, he interjected. I know you, Mina. I created you out of nothing. There's no one else to finish this but you. You can't be serious. He ignored the comment. Better I found you, he said, dropping his voice. But I don't have to keep my mouth shut if there's a reason. A shudder rippled down her back. She could not remember. She would not remember. I'm not what I used to be. She took a step back and steadied herself against the nearby apple tree. He smiled, though his eyes remained dead. Familiar. No, you're not. You'll be better. He walked slowly through the garden, his boots setting indelible impressions into the soil. He was marking his territory, making the garden his property, marking Mina, once again, as his territory. She let him. There were other choices, chances to resist, but he was right. The flowers would die regardless of what she did, even if the taste in her mouth had turned distinctly sour. The taste worsened as he ambled through the garden, taking his time, smelling each flower one at a time. Then he faced her, eyes locking onto hers. It was an old technique of solidarity to show that they were together in their tasks, no matter what transpired afterwards. 3 days, he intoned. Then he moves to the next city. That's it? You expect me to be ready by then? That's barely enough time. Perhaps too little preparation will work out when too much did not. Mina shut down and dropped her eyes to the ground. We'll meet in 2 hours and go over plans, he said, assuming acceptance. You are the best, Mina. You still are. I was an innocent, Leonid. Mina spat out, rage forcing her to blurt out his name. I grew up. Their eyes locked once more. Not completely, he said, and walked out of the garden. Not completely, she brooded throughout the rest of the day. And that might be the bigger problem. Years ago, she had no concept of right or wrong. It had been her greatest asset. But then she learned to understand. That had been her downfall. That was why she failed. Mina leaned against the apple tree, running a hand through her hair, and prayed she could rediscover her old instincts. You still have it, Leonid said with more than a trace of wonder. No one was more surprised than Mina. 48 hours of worrying, then disgust over her fears, then preparation, had led her to this moment of rediscovery in an abandoned warehouse 3 miles from her home. She hadn't asked Leonid why or how he had procured the isolated place. She simply fell back on the old instructions. Never question, always follow. 3 weapons and 7 targets, each depicting a different member of the Romanov family, awaited her at the warehouse. But the choice was obvious. The moment she picked up the Luger, the years she spent erasing her memory slipped away. It felt so right in her hands, and her aim was true. 1 shot, then several others in quick succession, all but one hitting the chosen target dead center. She pursed her lips at the sight of the Alexei target, where the bullet missed its chest by 3 inches. Let it go, Mina. You won't miss next time, Leonid reminded her. How can you have such confidence in me? He didn't face her directly, as before. Instead, he went around from behind, wrapping his arms around hers, stroking the gun in an almost obscene fashion. Mina didn't flinch because she knew she wasn't the attraction. His desire was fully in his work, in the successful completion of such. A trait she wished she didn't still share. Because I made you who you are, he purred into her ear. And when you disappeared, you turned me into something I never thought I would be. Mina squirmed. She'd thought of Leonid on and off over the years, but not as a person, as a living being. He'd been her handler, the man to shepherd her into a world she'd barely chosen, and to think of him as human would be to give in to the rage she didn't want to feel. She opened her mouth, but Leonid cut her off. Forget it. You're not interested in what my life was like, and truthfully, I'm not interested in yours. All I care about is that you keep shooting with the same accuracy. She turned around, eyes flashing. At what cost? He laughed. Who thinks of cost? It's the end result that matters. Then why don't you kill him yourself? He was your enemy, not mine. Leonid blinked, thrown by the fact that she had departed from whatever script he had concocted. The moment was brief. I won't even dignify this with a response, he said, his voice returning to the haughty tones that haunted her dreams, because it hardly requires one. But you've been out of the game for a while. Perhaps you need reminding. Don't patronize me, she snapped, raising the gun for emphasis. He smiled. Yes, never threaten a lady with a loaded weapon. Another rule you taught me. And I'll remind you of one more before we leave, he said, his voice returning to normal. Never let the emotions get in the way of a good hit. I kill him, it's a disaster. You do, it's a job. Plain and simple. Mina didn't respond. She'd had her opening, her chance to explain why she had left, and it had passed. She readied the weapon and emptied the chamber into Alexei's chest. The night before the job, Leonid sat at her kitchen table, noisily slurping up a plate of spaghetti. Mina watched, musing at how domestic the scene appeared. A father figure eating what was offered by his would-be child. He looked up at her and frowned. Eat something. It's better if you do. All these years, and you're still giving me instructions. Leonid made a face. You never used to chastise me so much. Need I point out how much things have changed? She waved her hand around the room. This house, the garden outside, my life. I craved simplicity. I needed silence. You fidgeted every time you weren't working, Leonid interjected, punctuating the statement with a final slurp. Have you looked in the mirror? Have you seen your eyes glowing? You want to do this more than you've ever wanted to do anything. Damn him for being right, and for Mina had looked in the mirror the previous night. Practicing at the warehouse and going over the plans had kindled something within her she'd long thought dead, and each day that passed only inflamed her desire to do what he'd asked. To exorcise the ghost. But you won't be able to carry it out if you don't tell me the truth, Leonid remarked, keeping his tone dangerously light. She gripped the edge of the counter. I couldn't lie to you. You've told me many true things, I'll give you that. But the whole truth? Not even close. Her grip on the counter tightened to the point of agony. Once Leonid had his mind set, he would not relent until he had what he wished. But she had learned about clinging to her own convictions during her time of isolation, and she would not yield to him. Not on this. His smile sent a chill through her. I'll find out, one way or another. He pushed the plate to the opposite end of the table. It slid off, its crash making a horribly dissonant sound that both of them ignored. Perhaps I'm on the wrong job, Mina uttered under her breath. Leonid may have aged, but his reflexes were still very much intact. Before she could react, he'd pinned her against the counter, his face inches from hers in a furious shade of red. You ungrateful bitch, he said, spittle hitting her cheek. Would you rather I had left you to die, or worse, to be raped by those rampaging Cossacks? Would you rather have suffered the same fate as your family? Think of them. She turned her face away, but he forced her to look at him. Think of them, he shouted. What the hell do you think I've been doing every day of my life? Mina fired back. Why do you think I ran away? I couldn't be that girl. Every time I killed someone, a part of me died along with them. A part of me that never had a chance to grow into womanhood. And then you asked me to kill him. She couldn't bear to say his name. She could barely eke out the replacement pronoun. Because you couldn't muster up the courage to do so yourself. She wanted him to move closer, throttle her, cross over the precipice. Her heart thudded in anticipation, but when Leonid drew back, Mina remembered her folly. He never lost control. This was as close as he would ever get. And now that she knew it, he smiled more genuinely. You'll need some of that fire tomorrow. 8 o'clock, at the bottom of the hill. He didn't have to ask if she'd be there. Once again, Leonid knew her better than she knew herself. But he didn't know everything. Later, Mina wondered if the entire morning had been her mind's invention, a strange replay of the previous time. She could not shake the feeling of repetition, of going through a chain reaction dictated years before. She arrived at the bottom of the hill 30 minutes early, and Leonid was already waiting. He wouldn't stay long, he said. It was up to her to aim and shoot. You came here to remind me of something I already know? A shadowy look crossed Leonid's face. Perhaps I wasn't entirely certain you knew. She didn't have time to decipher the statement. Now that she was here, she was itching to begin. He retreated from sight, and Mina was alone. The plan was shockingly easy. Her target jogged every morning, the same route each time. Up the hill on the far side, then down the hill nearest to where she was stationed, continuing in a straight line for 500 meters until he reached his house. She knew the route by heart because she had traveled it many times herself. Most of the time she hadn't admitted why. But now she faced the truth. She had been waiting for this moment. Mina crouched down, gun in her left hand. She hadn't decided whether to use it, but she wasn't keen on direct contact. It had never been her style, and even though she was proficient with a small dagger strapped to her thigh, it would take too long to unclasp it for use. All was quiet until she heard the sound of one foot moving after another. He was going up the hill. It would take 5 minutes. 5 long, slow, agonizing minutes for him to reach the other side. 5 minutes to keep her mind sharply focused on the now instead of retreating into the past. 5 minutes to ignore the well of rage bubbling up inside her that she'd gone back to her old life. 5 minutes to indulge a tiny pinprick of what might come in the future. The running sounds increased, and Mina sensed his approach. He was coming straight towards her. She felt nothing, and it surprised her. She had expected the old rush of handling a deadly weapon to strike her as it had every time so many years ago. But she didn't miss the childlike glee. She needed adult wiles. She moved into a half-crouch, now able to see him clearly. 2 seconds passed where her entire world rotated on its axis, enough time to process how time had changed him. Of course he'd grown older. She could hardly expect him to say the young man she had known, had grown up with and trained with, the one she harbored vague thoughts of loving some day, if and when she was capable of such feelings. And when he looked directly at her without recognition, not even registering the fact that she had a gun raised to his chest, she felt the last trace of the old Mina die completely. The years she'd spent suppressing her grief over a path not taken, her fury at Leonid for his unwavering yet cowardly quest to obliterate all rivals to power, and her shame over the impulsive decision to flee him, all crumbled away in the face of a single stark realization. Leonid's son did not know her. The last vestige of connection demolished, Mina did what she could not do at the age of 12, when she'd suddenly discovered the difference between right and wrong, and when the promise of hope seemed tantalizing within reach. Shoot straight and true. Leonid found her in the abandoned warehouse, firing at the practice targets. She didn't expect him to be surprised that she had been up all night shooting round after round with coolly perfect accuracy, in an attempt to rid herself of oncoming memories and unshed tears. Nor did she expect him to be surprised when, instead of greeting him, she turned around and aimed the gun at his chest. He didn't have any final words, not a single explanation or excuse. He took the 2 bullets to his heart with a mixture of silence, stoicism, and ironic humor she knew all too well. Mina wrapped his body in tarpaulin that she normally used to cover the flowers during the frost. It wasn't the best, but it would do. "I created you," Mina had said to her so many times. And he had been right. Without him, she would have suffered an unimaginable fate. Mina grinned, stashing Leonid's body in a nearby incinerator. She was still young, and she had so much time ahead of her. All the time in the world to sit back, nice and quiet, and smell blooming flowers in the field, just outside the warehouse. They were so pretty, she thought, and without a single thorn to prick herself on. She'd earned it.
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave.
It's a crime.